To the Middle East now, where a senior Hamas official says the group cannot be eliminated with the killing of its leaders. He was reacting to Israel's announcement that they had killed Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar in Gaza. Meanwhile, concerns over a wider conflict in the Middle East have prompted international airlines to suspend flights to the region. Speaking in Germany, US President Joe Biden said the death of Sinwar presented an opportunity to find a solution to end the war.
The death of the leader of Hamas represents a moment of justice. He had the blood of Americans and Israelis, Palestinians and Germans and so many others on his hands. I told the Prime Minister of Israel yesterday, let's also make this moment an opportunity to seek a path to peace, a better future in Gaza without Hamas. And I look forward to discussing Iran. Olaf and I spoke the morning after Iran launched 200 ballistic missiles at Israel earlier this month. With our G7 counterparts, we agreed to coordinate our response through sanctions and other measures. And that is what we have done.
Ruby Chen, whose son Itay Chen was killed by Hamas in the October 7th attacks, said now was an opportunity to end the war.
Yahya Sinwar was an obstacle to get a hostage deal. So now it is time to urge the world community to hammer out a deal to end the suffering of the hostages, as well as end the humanitarian crisis that is in Gaza as well.
We're joined now by Middle East-based reporter Jim Muir. Jim, Israel is celebrating what it calls its lucky find in getting its most wanted man. But is there greater fear in Israel today for the remaining hostages inside Gaza for over a year now?
I would say among the hostages' families, yes, there is, because the first reaction from the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, was to say, basically, we're going to crack on with the war. Now, that for them may sound a bit like a death sentence for their loved ones who are still being held. There's 101 still not accounted for, and roughly half of them are believed actually to be dead or reported to be dead. So basically, their families are fearing for their lives, because if Israel cracks on with this offensive, and in fact it's pouring more troops and tanks into northern Gaza right now as we speak, where there's been an offensive going on for 2 weeks, I mean, chances of hostages getting killed are actually very, very high. There have been very few who've been released as a result of kind of heavy military action like what is going on right now. So what the hostage families would like to see is this opportunity, as President Biden calls it, to revive the pretty much stalled talks towards a hostage and prisoner exchange deal, along with the Peace for Gaza reconstruction and all the rest of it, a three-stage plan launched by President Biden at the end of May and baked into a UN Security Council resolution. Now, that simply hasn't been happening, but people who are saying that they want this to be an opportunity in that direction are looking at what Mr. Netanyahu is saying and really feeling a bit of despair.
And we hear Hamas in a statement saying that it can't be eliminated. One man was interviewed. I heard him saying that for every leader they assassinate, 100 more will rise to take their places. What happens to Hamas now?
Well, as that speaker said, Hamas can't be finished off just by leaders being assassinated. Don't forget, Yahya Sinwar had been in that job just for 2 months as the top guy in the organization as such. I mean, he'd been in charge of Gaza itself, but the overall leader, Ismail Haniyeh, was assassinated by the Israelis in Tehran just a couple of months ago. And, you know, the organization continued. It elected a new man. Now he's been eliminated. But going right back to the foundation of Hamas, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, who actually founded it back in the 80s, he was a cripple in a wheelchair, but he was assassinated too. So there's a long tradition of their leaders. They almost expect to be assassinated. There's a cult of martyrdom in these Islamist movements. And that's what's happened. So, I mean, quite right. One gets bumped off, another takes his place. Now, of course, Hamas now is in a historically very battered condition. I mean, it's fragmented, and yet it's continuing to fight Israel on the ground. They seem to have very loose and flexible command structures, because Israel is now, as I say, pouring more tanks and troops into the northern part, which is the first part that they conquered, to fight back a kind of resurgence of Hamas. And when they see their leaders bumped off, I think possibly it could well be, as one of your speakers there was suggesting, a kind of recruiting tool, almost making people even more frustrated, even more angry, and more likely to join the ranks of Hamas.
Jim, you're in Lebanon. What has been the reaction there to the Sinwar killing?
Here in Lebanon, well, of course, it's been compared very much to the killing of Nasrallah, the Hezbollah chief, 2-3 weeks ago. There's so much happening now, it's hard to remember exactly when it all happened, but he's been out of the picture. He was, for 30 years, the very revered among Hezbollah followers, leader of the movement. So Sinwar's death is being pretty much compared to that. And there again, you see, Hezbollah has had most of its leadership wiped out, almost every name you can think of in the kind of military hierarchy and on the political side too. And yet its fighters on the ground are still fighting very hard against the Israelis on the ground in South Lebanon. The Israelis haven't made a huge amount of penetration. They're not holding ground there, and they are taking casualties. I'm not saying Hezbollah is winning, but it's certainly able to fight on despite the decimation of its leadership. So they see that Sinwar has kind of joined the club, as it were.
Jim, your reporter there in the Middle East, thank you very much for bringing us up to date with that.